desire your prayers tonight. I stand before you in fear and trembling. This is not my comfort zone. Introduce myself for those that don't know who I am. Butch Cole from the local Neosho congregation, and I count this quite a treat to be able to participate in this and see all the wonderful saints of God gathered in. I have a burden tonight. I don't know what to say. It's been burning on my heart and mind for months, and I need the Lord's help to deliver this as He would see fit. In fact, if you don't mind, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. Tonight, Lord, we are so thankful for the power and the freedom of the gospel that You've given us, Lord, through the death and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would give us liberty tonight, Lord, and that You would send Your Spirit, Lord, Your inspiration, Your anointing, Lord, that You would reveal to us what You would endeavor to impart to us, dear God, and to receive what You have for us, Lord. I pray that You would bless each soul here tonight and help us, Lord, in every way. We thank You for what You've done and what You will do in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I first want to say, tonight's message may be a little different for one particular reason. My burden is, I'll say it this way. In our society, in the day and age we live in, here in America especially, specifically, it's where we live, there is a ever escalating greater need for more and more real men. Okay? Godly men. Men with deep convictions and a deep inner strength that comes from God. Not just something they work up themselves. And men who will rise to the challenge before us in a world that is morally bankrupt, that is, and you look around and there's marriages falling apart, families and homes torn and disrupted, communities crumbling, congregations shrinking. And some of this is from the simple fact of men walking away from God. Men walking away from their God-given responsibilities to their wives, to their families, to their congregations, to their communities, to their jobs. The list goes on and on. And yet, I want to say this. My burden tonight is not to crush the men or discourage the men, but rather to challenge you tonight. Sister Jody, I appreciate your testimony. And tonight, the burden is not just for the men. There's actually some for the sisters here tonight too, so don't give up on us. But for the men specifically, there are so many areas, so many things that the devil has taken advantage. I'll just say it like it. The devil has taken advantage and men have believed a lie. And it's been passed down from generations. And now we're seeing the fruits of it. For several decades, we're seeing the fruits of men that have believed the lie that, you know, it's okay just to please myself and have some time for myself here. Thank you. And you know that's true. But there is something about the selfishness that is rampant in our world today. And I'm going to start with the men here tonight because I feel like we have a position here that God has given us to be that man. That man that is dependable, that is reliable, that is seeking to get ever closer to the Lord, to hold His hand and to lead His family and His community as God would have us to. So, I want to say this too. There are, in our local congregations, and no doubt in many of the congregations here represented tonight, there have been a great number of men that have passed away in the last 5 years or so. And in fact, in our local congregation, just the last less than 4 years, there have been four men in our congregation that have passed away. And no doubt other congregations and others that you all know could go make a long list of men and brethren that have passed on, some older, some not so old. And so now there's a void. And so the question is, the challenge is, who's going to take their place? And then now there may be some in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, that are going to pass off the scene as well. Who's going to take their place? You see what I'm saying? And to think of this, the positions or the places that need filled in our congregations, our homes, our communities. There's fathers, husbands, deacons, ministers, trustees, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, prayer warriors, father figures, laborers, providers. And the list goes on and on, where who's going to fill those places? Who's going to step in? Who's going to make something happen? Who's going to make that commitment? Say, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. I'll volunteer. And then to think of the sad reality in our society. There are broken connections and links that need to be mended. Some gaps need to be filled. And I'm going to say, it's a man's job. All right? Now, I'm not disqualifying what the sisters can do. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But I want to say for the fathers and the husbands, the ones that are missing in homes and communities and congregations, there's a loss of security when there's not a man around. And I have some statistics I'm going to share here in a little bit. But there's an amount of security and strength. You just ask some of the sisters here tonight, what happens when their husband or their father or their older brothers or whatever, when all the men are gone and on a job, or they're traveling and it's just the women and ladies at home and the girls? How do you feel at night at home? You feel a little insecure. But there's something about the presence of a man. And it goes beyond that. I'm going to say there's something about the presence of a godly man. That's my burden here tonight. But where he can step in and protect and defend, not just on a physical level, but we're talking on a spiritual level too. And on the level that God has instituted, if I could say it this way, the place for a man, for a husband, for a father. Okay? And that is to be a direct link and connection between God and the family. And in fact, I want to draw a little diagram on the board. And if we could sing some verses of a song, number 268, in our hymnal, as I draw this diagram, I'm going to write the title on the board as well. So if we could sing number 268, please.
Be true and fearless, stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. Cast not away the arm of strength to yield unto the tempting throng. For God is always strong and true to help and keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every test. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. He is our rock, our tower high, and to the meek he giveth grace. A shield he is to them that trust, the joy of those who seek his faith. Be strong and firmly trust in God through every test. Be true and fearless stand, and with his grace and strength be blessed.
Thank you. Thank the Lord. I'm not going to read the scriptures that mentions in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, that gives, I'm not going to read them, I'll just mention them, talking about Jesus being the head of the church, and the husband being the head of the home, the family. And you can read those scriptures for yourself. But what I have drawn on the board here is, there are three links. This is a chain link, all right? Or chain links, links of a chain. The top one is God, all right? That's who we're all hanging on to, okay? The second one is, I have labeled a man, husband, a father. And the bottom one is a family. Who's the wife, the children, and so on and so forth. And so what I have drawn in between here is a broken link. That middle link, in so many forms and fashions that we see in our society today, that link is broken, unfortunately. And we are seeing the effects of it each and every year. The statistics will not lie, okay? I want to read some statistics here. This is in the United States. Just a few years ago, some studies were done, and no doubt the numbers are climbing. But children from fatherless homes, get a hold of this tonight. 90% of the runaways and the homeless are from fatherless homes. 90%. 85% of behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of the dropouts are from fatherless homes, dropouts from school. 75% of substance abuse, those are from fatherless homes as well. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. And 75% of the aggression and the rapist also come from fatherless homes. Do you get the picture? That's what we are seeing. Those numbers are continuing to rise. 100 years ago, that wasn't near the case. But now, as we see fathers and husbands vacant from their God-given responsibilities, these numbers continue to climb. And the devil is having a heyday. And he continues to press, and he continues to accuse, and he continues to deceive and to spread his lies. But dear ones, we don't have to cave to that. We can, as a song, as the young people are singing, we can make up our mind and say, nope, I'm not going that way. That's not going to be me. I'm not going to be the broken link. We can make up our minds, dear ones. And I want to say this too, as I mentioned earlier, to the sisters tonight, to the women. You too are able to connect to God. Okay, so I'm not disqualifying that. Okay. And surely you must. We all have to connect to God. But there's something about, as I mentioned earlier, the extra strength and security of a father, of a husband, of a man in the home, when he is connected to God, it's like everyone else says, oh yes, that's what I've been longing for. And it brings an extra security, an umbrella of protection that is God-given. I want to say something else too, to the sisters here tonight. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard many ladies, sisters, and women express it this way. Those that are striving to live for the Lord, they've said it this way. One of the most attractive things they see in a man is when he's seeking to follow the Lord closely. I heard some sisters amening and nodding their heads. So when I say that, It's a man, a husband, a father that's continually exercising and growing in his relationship with the Lord. To grow that inner strength that comes from God, because he's connected directly to God. And I want to say this to the married men tonight. Keep striving for that. That's the challenge. Make up your mind. I'm going to continue seeking the Lord. Come what may, no matter what, I'm going to continue to fill my place and my position and not let down my guard and not let down and disappoint my wife or my children or my family and disappoint my God. And to the unmarried men here tonight, I want you to take some notes. Because there's some young ladies out here tonight looking for a spiritually strong young man with some strong inner strength that comes from God, because he's linked up and connected directly to God. And I want to say this too. True masculinity is being attacked right as we speak. True masculinity. Our society on one hand promotes a false image of what a real man looks like and what he should be. Then on the other hand, they try to minimize the role and the effect of what a real man should be. In fact, they mock the very God-given responsibility and position and place that we are to be filling. They mock it. They scoff at it. They make fun of it. They make jokes. Some have said, I don't know what they are, but that there's TV programs and shows and movies. That's what they promote. Is it's just the dumbing down of the men in our society. Like, oh, they don't know, they can't do it. You know, they just went, whatever. I'm like, that doesn't have to be so.
Right.
Lord, help us. Yes. That not be the image that we portray.
Right.
And I mentioned earlier, the devil, Satan himself, the father of lies, is working overtime to deceive and to trick us into believing what he's promoting. And he's going about, as the scripture says, as a roaring lion. You know what that means? He's trying to stir up strife and confusion and chaos and misunderstanding, misrepresentations and deceit and lies and all these things. And he's roaring. He has a loud voice and he's promoting it in so many aspects. We have all different types of media available to us to this day. And it's being pushed and promoted that, you know, this man over here, he failed. He left his family. He left his God. He left his wife. And that's just normal. There's songs written about it. It's becoming normalized. Well, everyone else is doing it. No, that doesn't have to be you. That doesn't have to be me. Let's be the exception. I've made up my mind. I'm going to be that man that God wants me to be. That the scriptures teach us to be. And folks, again, my burden tonight is not to focus necessarily on what the devil is doing. However, it needs to be revealed. The devil needs to be exposed for who he is and what he's been doing and the damage that he has caused. But dear ones, it is repairable. There is hope. And that's the message I want to get across here tonight. It's to challenge us, especially the men, that we can do this by the grace of God. We can change this image on the board from a broken link to a complete link. One that's linked up to Christ and following Him no matter what. Well, I want to say something else to the sisters here tonight before we dig into a few scriptures. You know, you sisters, you have a very important place in this too. I want to say, as we cover some more points here, I want to speak a little bit about love language. And I will say that perhaps a good part of the men here tonight, their love language is not necessarily words of affirmation. Maybe it is. It doesn't matter. But perhaps it's all, there's all different types of love languages out there. There's studies on that, and you can do a little test on it if you want. Five different love languages. But I want to say this, that to you sisters tonight, I think I can speak for all the men, all the brethren here. You know, it does us good When we receive a genuine compliment for something godly and manly that we have done, all right? Not that we go out seeking for compliments. That's not my point. But sometimes it's easy. Let's just say how it is. Life has a grind to it sometimes. And we get busy doing our own things, just trying to either, whether it's make ends meet or meet this schedule or to help this person over here and to do this thing over there. And we're all busy. Sometimes it does well for the men to be encouraged that, you know, husband or father or daddy or whoever it is, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate the security that we feel, that you bring to us. We appreciate you seeking the Lord's will. And if that can't be said of you tonight, I challenge you that it will be said of you. That you strive for that. That that's the challenge, that we all be that man where it will make it easy for our wife or for even a mother or for a daughter or for another sister, where we make it easy for them to come, where they're not fishing for like, oh man, what could I say? There's not much there. But Lord, help us that we live such a life when we're connected to God that, if we could say it this way, ultimately God gets the glory, but sometimes just a few little words of encouragement goes a long way. So that's just a little side point. But again, to the men here tonight, I want to say something. As we continue on with the little discourse here, don't allow your mind to go down a path of hopelessness and defeat. Because maybe you're looking at your life and maybe you're realizing, you know, I have come up short. Or I could improve a little here, a little there, and I've tried and I just don't think I can. And I want to say this, don't beat yourself up. And don't say, well, there's really no use. I've tried it many times before and I've failed and I've come up short and no one seems to appreciate it anyway, so why even try? Dear ones, men, young men, it is worth trying to get up again and say, by God's grace, I'm going to try this again. By God's grace, I'm going to keep pushing through until I do get the victory. Because again, the message of the gospel is hope, dear ones. That's why we're all here tonight. And I want to remind us of the scripture, with man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I want to say this too, dear ones, as has already been expressed in the service tonight, we serve an amazing and powerful God tonight. A God that can keep us. A God that can inspire us and lead us along faithfully. But the key is, we must focus on Him. We must link up to God. I want to turn and read some scriptures in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. Again, I desire your prayers here tonight. In Ezekiel 22, I'm not going to read all these scriptures. Starting in verse 23, I'm just going to paraphrase some of what was happening here. The prophet Ezekiel is speaking to the children of Israel. And we'll say, exposing some of the things that have been happening, the disappointments of what the enemies have been doing to their people, and the list goes on and on. And in verse 29, I want to pick up in verse 29, Ezekiel 22, verse 29, it says, "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." In verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap, to stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Oh, what a troubling end of that scripture, of that thought, of that sentence. He said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, or before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." To the men and to the young men here tonight, that doesn't have to be said of us. We can be the one that makes up our mind that I am going to stand in the gap. I am going to complete the chain link All right? And complete that connection to God and to family and say, no, I refuse to take the path and the channel that's being promoted in our society. Yes. To stand in the gap. Yes. You know, in the margin of my Bible, it says, a need for manliness. Yes. Someone to stand in the gap. Someone to bridge the gap. And you know, in this day and age, in the Bible times, in the Old Testament here, a lot of that was referring to the broken down walls, the walls of the city. That was a familiar, what you would find as you would come up to city was a walled cities. And when the walls, were broken down or the gates were broken down, the enemies could come in and just flood in and overtake them easily. And they needed some men to stand in the gap and to repair the walls and to repair the breaches, to do the job, the dirty work. Get their hands dirty. Put in some effort. Take the responsibility. Take the challenge and the charge. We're not going to leave this city defenseless. We can do something about it. You know, I remember Brother Ed Wilson some time ago when he first moved to Neosho. I remember him saying something. I never have forgot this. It's been a challenge to me. And he was referring to different things in the congregation, whether it's work days or other issues that may come up. But in general, he just made this statement. He said, it should be that when the men show up, things get better. Yes. You know what he was meaning by that? He's meaning someone that's willing to take the challenge, to be a man, to put in the strength and the time and the effort and the energy, even when you don't feel like it, and even when it's not popular, but to stand in the gap and to be that man that can be depended on. Lord, help us.
Amen.
And in thinking of a man who focuses on being dedicated and devoted to God, it's amazing how it works that in turn, it propels him to be faithful to his wife and his children. When you're faithful to God, he instructs you and teaches you how to be faithful to your wife, to your children, be faithful in the job, be faithful in your congregation. The list goes on and on. It's amazing how, because in the scriptures, God teaches us how to live everyday life. You go out there in the world and it's promoted a whole different lifestyle. And that's what we're going to get into here in just a little bit. But a real man leads by example. Not just vain, shallow, empty words. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need to do that, or we ought to do this, or yeah, that's a good idea, or what about this? And no, show me what you are doing with your life. Not just what you say. Talk is cheap, folks. There's a lot of people out there that they're just saying words, but what are they doing with their life? Lord, help us as men that we back up our words. There's a saying that says, mean what you say and say what you mean. Just live it. Well, and what did Apostle Paul say as far as leading by example? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Folks, that is the key right there. That as we follow Christ and as we lead by example, we can teach and show others not only is it possible, but this is how you do it. And yes, we all have different personalities and different backgrounds. We understand that. But yet, Lord, help us men to lead by example. And what does it mean to be a real man? What does it mean to be that man? It's someone that loves the Lord with all of their heart. Not just little portions here and there. You know, there's so many things of, it's like, you can say, well, I have this love over here and this passion over here and this love over here and this passion over here, all these other extracurricular things, which there's not really anything wrong with it. But then it's like, oh, but over here in this little corner, I have a little spot for the Lord. What about that? Lord, help us that it may be the largest spot in our heart. That is for God. And then all the other things, the Lord will fill in. And another point. A man that takes a stand for the right. The truth from God's word, even when it's unpopular, not easily intimidated by the opposition or by the evil influences around us, that people may make fun of us and poke, you know, ridicule us, like, oh, you believe that? Or you do that? Yes, I do. Not ashamed of it. And you believe that and you practice what? Yeah, that's what the Scripture says, and that's what I do by the grace of God. Because I found that is the most satisfying life to live. It's a life of peace, as Sister Jody was saying. It's a life of joy and satisfaction. Someone that won't cave to peer pressure. It is so easy sometimes. I went to a public school growing up. I understand peer pressure. I've worked on the job several years. There's peer pressure there too. Peer pressure everywhere. Lord, help us men that we not cave, that we make a stand for what is right. And here's another point. You know, sometimes it may seem foolish and it may seem like a wimp, but I have this image of a real man actually holds God's hand. You see, because he realizes, I can't make it alone. I can't do it by myself. I have to hang on to God's unchanging hand. He's the one that's going to lead me through life. I can't lead myself. How am I going to lead my family? By following God. How am I going to lead my family? By staying connected to God. How am I going to lead my family? By loving Him with all of my heart. And here's another one. A real man is one who lives a life of sacrifice and self-denial. Not given to indulgence and selfishness, but rather a giving and generous spirit. And then that sounds, that's good words. But to put that in practice, you know what that means? It means not consuming all my time and my money and all my passions upon myself. Like leaving the family at home, not just when I'm at work, but, oh, well, then there's time I got to play. And you play all the other time. And then what about church and what about family? Oh, well, I'm out doing such and such because that's just what I love doing. Again, don't get me wrong here. We all need times to relax and enjoy. All right? But to be consumed of that week in and week out, that's what you get known for. You can get labeled as, oh, well, yeah, he's the guy that he just plays. He works and then he plays. And when is he going to be at home? You see what I'm saying? He's absent. It becomes a broken link. And the wife and the children suffer. Dear ones, I'm not just saying this because this sounds good. That's not my point. This is a burden, dear ones, that we see around us in our society. It promotes, you just go have fun. Don't worry about those things. You need to treat yourself. You deserve it. Go do those things. Just go have fun. Take off. And that's all you ever do. Or I work. I enjoy staying at work because I'm not home. And then I got to get out and then leave the home because I don't want to be at home. You see what I'm saying? Where let's figure out, why do you not want to be at home? Oh, it's because of this. You know what? Let's be a man and let's just analyze that really close. And man, let's just take everyone else out of the picture and say, let me consider myself. Let me turn God's spotlight, His word, upon my own life first. That's being a leader by example. All right. Say, I'm going to search the Scripture. Say, Lord, and get on my knees and say, Lord, what is happening here? This is not what I have planned for my life. What's wrong? Lord, help us. And speaking of which, a man, a real man, is one that's not afraid to pray. In fact, he'll instigate it. You know, it's so easy sometimes. Oh, yeah, we ought to pray about something. And you just like, you kind of forget about it. Maybe you say a little silent prayer. And that's fine. That's good. But you know, sometimes, Lord, help us men say, you know what? Let's have prayer right now. While we're talking about it, in the middle of whatever is going on, it's like, wait, let's just have prayer. Because we need some help. Or they need some help. Whatever it is, let's have prayer. To instigate it. That is real manliness. And I've heard it said this way. A man stands the tallest when he's on his knees. Just think about that for a little bit. And this goes into another avenue. You know, a real man is not too ashamed or too proud to cry. I'm not talking about being an emotional basket case. That's not my point here tonight. But you know, sometimes it does well for the women, the ladies in your life, whoever it is, that they see a little bit of tenderness. That you don't always have to be, nothing bothers me. No, don't ever. No, I'm not going to show any emotion. I'm going to hide my tears. Oh no, they're never going to see me cry. You know, it's okay to be tough. That's not the point here. But you know, it's also okay to show some tenderness and some compassion. Because the women and the ladies in our lives, they need it. Our children too. And here's another one. A real man will admit he's wrong when necessary. Doesn't have to be so stubborn and hard-headed. Let's just be honest with ourselves, men. Like, oh, no, that's right. I know this is just how it is. This is how I believe it, you know. And oh no, I'm not wrong, or you. Lord help us. It takes humility to admit you're wrong, and sometimes you have to come out and tell your wife, your children, whoever else it is, say, you know, I was wrong about that, and I'm sorry. And I need some help, you know, and be sincere about it. Not just say, oh, yeah, I was wrong, but hey, whatever, you know, just go on. No, Lord, help us to be a man and accept the responsibility and say, you know what? I was wrong to say that. I was wrong to do that, or I was wrong to whatever it is, and say, I want to fix that. I want to do better. And you know, a real man is also someone who is stable and decisive. Not someone that is wishy-washy. It's like one minute they're saying and doing this, and the next minute they're saying and doing something else. Totally different. Depends on the tide of emotion or peer pressure or what's popular or unpopular. Like, well, we just kind of, you know, just kind of go through life. And like, no. Sometimes you just have to make up your mind and take a stand. This is who I am. This is what I believe. And this is what I'm going to do. And when God reveals differently, I'm going to change. I'm not going to be so stubborn and hard-headed and say, nope, I'm just going to do that. I don't care what you say. I'm just, no. Lord, what would you have me to do? See, when you're connected and when you're linked up to God, and when you're willing to pray and humble down and hold to God's hand and hear Him whisper to you and say, child, if you just get quiet, I'm going to tell you what to do. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to tell us sometimes as men. And you finally get quiet and you get still and okay, all right. Well, I'm going to try to do that, Lord. And then the Lord will instruct us and teach us and how to go about that. And oh, what a security that brings to your home and to those around you, even those on your job. They notice when someone is stable. And you know, many times those type of men, they get promoted for a reason. Because they're not wishy-washy. They're not double-minded. Because that means you're unstable in all your ways, the Scripture says. And here's another one. A real man just will not quit. Now understand what I'm saying here. The Scripture says, quit ye like men. That means no matter the opposition. You are singing number 223. I mean to go right on. When there's opposition, when it seems everything is against us and everything is going wrong in our life, it's like, and I don't feel good, and this is happening, and this bill came up, and that broke, and so-and-so said this, and the devil's accused me of that, and I failed over here in this area. It's like everything is going wrong that I can imagine. Like, what's the use? Men, don't accept that. Men, don't pamper those thoughts in your mind. But make up your mind that, no, by the grace of God, I mean to go right on. By the grace of God, I'm going to make up my mind and take a stand and keep pushing. And don't quit. You know, even if you have to crawl, you're still moving forward. Okay? And it may be slow progress, but I'm moving forward by the grace of God. I'm not going back. And I'm not standing still. I'm moving forward as I hold to God's unchanging hand. And I want to say another thing here tonight. A real man is someone that's willing to humble down, not only pray, but at times it's even to bow at an altar of prayer. You know, that's not showing weakness. That's actually showing strength. Because what does the Scripture say? When I'm weak, then am I strong. What he's saying is, I'm relying and depending on someone's strength that is greater than mine, and that is God's. And when I'm humbling down at an altar of prayer, I'm realizing I don't have it myself. And I'm humbling down here in earnestness and pleading, Lord, I need you. I'm desperate for you because I'm nothing without you. And I'm going to continue to falter and come up short in these areas if I don't get some help from you. So it's okay to pray. It's okay to kneel at an altar of prayer. It's okay to cry. That's all right. It's called being a real man of God. And it's called providing a sense of security for those in your life. There's a few examples I want to bring up here. King David. Remember King David? He was a man after God's own heart. But he wasn't a perfect man. He made some severe failures. But that didn't stop him. In fact, one of the things that proved he was a real man was he faced and owned up and took responsibility for his own sins, his own failures. And he said, yep, that's me. That was me. Lay that to my charge, to my fault. And he owned up to it. He didn't shirk his responsibility. He was a king after all. And he should have been out fighting the war, that battle, and his temptation with Bathsheba. But he owned up to it. And even later, when he failed again, he owned up to it. He realized, I failed. Lord, don't lay it to anyone else. Take my life. I'm the one responsible here. That's what it means to be a real man. Take responsibility for your own actions. Scripture says a just man falleth 7 times. That's not meaning an exact number. That's just a complete number. All right. So however many number of times you fall, a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. That's what King David did. He didn't stop. You read the book of Psalms. He got a hold of something, dear ones. He got a hold of God. He linked up with God. That's how he's able to write those songs. And they meant something. He went through some difficult times. But yet, he connected with God. And he rose up again. He would fall. He got up again. He didn't stay down. He kept pressing on. Here's another one. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Son of Jacob or Israel? He was a man of integrity, was he not? Even when he was falsely accused in Potiphar's house there and thrown in jail, he maintained his integrity with God. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't maintain a mindset of bitterness and of martyrdom. It was like, oh, this is just terrible. This is not right. And just wallowed around in that prison, just made himself miserable and everyone else miserable. No, he maintained his integrity all the way through. And God honored that. And God rewarded that. That's a real man. And Lord, help us to be that man. There's many more. Apostle Paul, Peter. Again, they weren't willing to accept the label of a failure. They persevered and became spiritual pillars in the church. In spite of their failures of their past. They forgot those things. They left those things. Oh, that was the old man. I'm a new man in Christ. Transformed their mind, their hearts, their lives. And that wasn't just by the words that they wrote and the words that they spoke. They proved it with their lives. They backed it up because they were linked to God. They stood in the gap. And you know, the ultimate one, Jesus Christ, is the one that stood in the gap. Of all the men on the face of this earth, as long as time has been, Jesus Christ Himself, if we could say it this way, was a real man. The man. The one that stood in the gap for you and I. The one that, yes, He was falsely accused and ridiculed and mocked and made fun of, though He did no wrong, ever, never sinned, and yet He was killed, He was murdered, and nailed to a cross. And yet He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know..." You know, a real man forgives, and he accepts forgiveness. It's a two-way street. He forgives and accepts forgiveness, and he moves on by the grace of God. He doesn't hold the resentment and the bitterness. Lord, help us. Jesus, He gave His life. He sacrificed. Oh, to the men, to the fathers, to the young men, practice sacrificing. Understand what I'm saying here. In other words, not always trying to put yourself first. Well, I want this first. So I got to do that first. And me, myself and I. But no, it's okay to be second or third or last, whatever it is. To let someone else go ahead. To let someone else be benefited or blessed instead of you. You know, that's what Jesus did. He could have had lived in a mansion, but He chose to live in a tent. Other people's houses. He didn't own a house. He sacrificed for the good of others. Oh, Lord, help us to do the same. And all these prove that it could be done. But you know, in all these examples, the emphasis and motivation here tonight in becoming a man, to be that man God wants us to be, it has nothing to do with, as I mentioned earlier, your physical strength or how buff you are. Or how much pain you can withstand. The amount of money you can make. The extreme number of hours you put in at work every week. How well you can throw or hit a ball. How handsome you are. How intelligent you are. How many degrees you have. All those things. I want to say this. Those things are good and beneficial in their own way. But that's not the measure of a real man. That's what our society promotes and encourages. And I want to say it again. It's okay to have that, all right? Within moderation, you know, when you're connected to God, He'll show you how much is too much or how much is too little. He'll reveal that to you. But Lord, help us that we not succumb to the pressures of our society that this is what a real man is. And you fill in the blank. No, a real man is someone that's connected to God. That's where it starts. So just for a couple little action points as we wrap up here this evening. To the men here tonight, young, old, middle-aged. You find yourself where you have a need of some improvement? We all do. We all do. But I want to say this. Don't let the devil beat you down. It doesn't do anyone any good to just walk around and sulk and say, "I just messed up again. Oh well. I'll try to do better next time." And just, no. That's weak. That's allowing the weakness and the failure to continue. But no, let's take some action here. Let's analyze what's really going on. What do we do to fix this? You know, we have some mechanics here tonight. And when you bring a car in to be fixed, you don't just bring it in and say, "Well, you know, it sounds like this. And, well, let's just do this over here. That's a quick fix." And just like Band-Aid it. You understand what I'm saying? Just kind of put a little Band-Aid. But no, a real mechanic will research and investigate and tear things apart and analyze like, for instance, in a transmission, and there's issues with it, like, let's see what if there's any chips in that fluid as we drain the fluid, because maybe something is internal here that's really causing the transmission to slip and to lose some power. Let's not just put some more tranny fluid in, just top it up. That should be fine. Oh, yeah, it's not making the noise. All right, you're good to go. No, there may be something deeper, folks. And when we are connected to God, speaking to the men here again, and we realize there's some repeated failure somewhere, and we come up short time and time again. Again, let's not beat ourselves up and say, well, I just did it again. Oh, well, that's just who I am. I can't help it. No. Let's start analyzing. Let's peel back the layers. Let's dig in. Let's dig up the fallow ground. Let's dig into the Word of the Lord. Let's get down on our knees and say, Lord, what's going on here? What's wrong with me? Is there something in my past? Is there something I'm doing? Is there a train of thought that I'm harboring here that's keeping me going in circles here in a rut where I never can break free of this? What is it, Lord? You know, God will be faithful to reveal those things to us. I can assure you of that. So it starts here. It starts in our minds. Someone said it this way. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Just think about that for a little bit. That's actually not a new concept. There's a scripture that says in Proverbs, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." God said that. And so if we go around to the men here tonight, let's go around, and I'm not just talking about positive thinking, okay? That's good, and that has its place. But there's more to it than that. If we think of ourselves and tell ourselves, you know, I want to be a man that can be respected. I want to be a man that shows a true responsibility for thus and thus. I want to be a man that's linked to God. I want to be a man that stands in the gap. I want to be a man that's dependable, that's steady, that is respectable, all those things. And you start telling yourself that's who I want to be. That's what I strive to be. And you start taking action and seeking those that can give you that encouragement. You start looking in the right places in the Word of God. You start seeing other men that are successful in their life for the Lord and successful in their marriages and their homes. And you start asking them, say, how do you do that? What do you do? What's the secret? And so you start filling your mind with those things. You're seeking to be a better person, a better man. It's developing a new train of thought, a frame of mind. You see what I'm saying? Instead of going, oh, well, that's just how it is. That's how I was raised. That's how my dad was, my granddad's, my uncles, or my cousin, you know, whatever. Those I live around, that's just kind of how we are, and we can't help it, and oh, well, we'll be all right. Or maybe you find yourselves in a failure, maybe a repeated issue. It's like, well, yeah, but oh, well. You know, other people, they have worse things than that. You see what I'm saying? You're just glossing over. You're not fixing the problem. But Lord, help us to make up our minds. Say, no, wait. Let's analyze who I am. What are my issues? And allow God to turn a spotlight upon our hearts. And I want to say another thing to the men. This is for all of us. Don't practice negative self-talk. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, walk around saying, well, yeah, there I did it again. Oh, well, yeah. Man, I never can do anything right. Well, yeah, I failed again. Or, yeah, I just can't figure that out. I never can, blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, always downing yourself. You see what I'm saying? That comes from Satan. You wouldn't hear God telling you that, would you? Say, oh, well, you just loser. What are you thinking? You just, oh, come on. Can't you do better than that? You see, that's what the devil would tell you. He's going to treat you like a goat. He's just going to drive you and push you and kick you and prod you. But oh, dear ones, we have a heavenly Father. We have a good shepherd, a gentle shepherd that's going to lead us gently by the hand as we reach out to follow Him. And He'll whisper words of encouragement to challenge us to step up to the plate and to fill in the gap and to prove that you can be a real man in this wicked and morally deficient society. We don't have to follow the statistics that are promoted in this world. Oh, that's just part of the failure of our society. And just another one of the numbers. No, we can be the exception tonight. We can make up our minds as men and as young men and say, I'm not doing this anymore. By the grace of God, here I stand.
Right.
And this is what God instructed me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. By the grace of God. And I'm not giving up. And I'm not going to listen to the lies and all the things that the devil is broadcasting out there. Say, oh, well, men are just losers. No, they don't have to be. Men can be winners by the grace of God. So make up your mind and move forward with God. And here's another one directly related to that. Making a decision based upon not your feelings or your emotions, or when you feel happy. That's emotions. But no. You make a decision to follow God based upon what He has revealed to you. Not what Satan is telling you, and not even what other people are, because quite frankly, other people can be wrong. Maybe good intentions. But dear ones, we must listen to the still small voice of God and to His Holy Spirit that He revealed to us. And it's our responsibility as men to have that divine revelation. Because if we don't have that, we'll be led astray. But that's where we can make up our mind and say, you know what? And you remember when Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, on the road to Damascus, Jesus revealed Himself to him. And he turned his life around 180 degrees. And he accepted that. And he made up his mind. He made a decision. This is how I'm going to live. And from then on, he never looked back. What did he say? Forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing forward, pressing on to the mark, to the prize that is set before me. That's what he did. He became a new man. He got a new name. You could say a new label. He wasn't known as the abuser, the Saul that put people in prison and put people to death. Did he sanction those things? He became a messenger of hope, preaching the gospel message of love, of gentleness, of tenderness, of forgiveness. And he proved it by living that life. And he lived and he led by example. Dear ones, we can too. Men, young men, we can too, by the grace of God. But to make up your mind, make that decision to follow Christ. And the other one, keeping God first. Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What's that mean? Give God the first fruits. The first fruits of your time, your energy, your mind, your money, all those things. Give God the first fruits, and He'll make it up to you. I can assure you. So in closing here, I want to say just a few more things to the young ladies here tonight. I want to say something to you. Those that aren't married yet, we appreciate your steady patience in waiting on God to provide you for a godly man as a companion someday. We appreciate that. We do. Again, our society promotes a different path for you young ladies. Don't sell yourself short here tonight. Maintain your integrity with God. Maintain that pureness with God. Save yourself for marriage. God has placed you where you're at, and He'll bless you where you're at as long as you follow Him. You remember Ruth in the Old Testament? She honored God. And God rewarded her for her faithfulness. To the married sisters here tonight, I want to say this from the married men. I can safely say we appreciate your love and your support to us. It's not easy trying to follow the Lord and juggling all the other things, the responsibilities of life, trying to hold to God's unchanging hand, to be that man, to stand in the gap, to follow closely before the Lord, to humble ourselves when we want to just... But I want to say, our society doesn't make it easy on us. Because the society, the sneers and the jeers and the ridicules are increasing of the men that are willing to be real men. We're like, really? That's what you guys do? Yes. And God blesses that.
Amen.
Practicing how God instituted the family to work. That's right. And the church to work.
That's right.
With God, Jesus being the head of the church and of the home. But that link, dear ones, can be broken. But it can also be repaired. That's the whole message here tonight that I hope you young men and you middle-aged and you older men, if you have found yourself where you have come up short here tonight, there is hope. There is forgiveness. There is redemption. There is a new life, a new name that you can have. You don't have to be known as, oh, so-and-so. That's what he always does. That's what he's always said. And that's just who he is. No, you can make up your mind and say, no, that's the old man.
Yes.
Just like Apostle Paul can say, no, that was Saul. That was another man. I'm a new man in Christ. We can have that testimony. Brother Ivan was sharing that. Years ago as a young man, he knelt at an altar of prayer. He came up a new man. And he has stayed a new man by the grace of God. And how did he do that? He's been connected to God. He's led by example, not just his words. Because those are shallow, folks. A man can say anything, but yet he doesn't back it up with his life. And that's why our society scoffs and makes fun of men, because they say one thing and they do another. What's that called? A double-minded mind is unstable in all his ways. And that's why people scoff. They mock at it. They make fun of it. Like, wow, they say they're a Christian. Let's say they're a man of God. But look what they're doing. They're saying that, but they're doing this. Lord, help us. Do we make up our mind? That we be that man that God wants us to be. Committed to God. Committed to our families. And I want to say here tonight, if God has spoke to you, don't cast it off. Don't shrug it off and say, yeah, it's not that big a deal. I want to challenge you men, young men, make up your minds. This is not a time to play games. This is not a time to let your mind wander on all the other things that the devil may present to you. Oh, but you're going to miss out on this and you're going to miss out on that. What does the world really have to offer? And compare that to what does God have to offer? We heard about it tonight. The peace, the joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. You can go to sleep. You can lay down your bed at night and feel clear and clean and pure before God. You realize you can have that tonight if you want it. If you really mean it, you can have that tonight. God can give you that. And as you make up your mind, you make that decision. Dear ones, I want to tell you something. God empowers you when you make that decision. It's like God backs that and he sanctions that and he says, attaboy. And he puts his arm around you and say, let me show you some new things. And there we go on our way following God. So again, tonight, I want to challenge the men, the young men. Be that man that God wants you to be. Be that man. You know, God is counting on you. These young sisters here tonight, they're counting on you. The married sisters tonight, they're counting on you. Our society, our communities, our congregations, they're counting on you. What are you going to do? You can make up your mind to follow Christ. You pray for me. I'll be faithful as well.